The following podcast is from the weekly message at Summit Church in Upstate South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
For those who don't know, my name is Jason. I go here. I don't know. Terry's not here, so I don't have to say the official thing, whatever that is. All right, so if you have your Bibles, if you could open up to James, it's before the Peters, after Hebrews. James chapter 3, we're at the end of it, end of the third chapter, verses 13 through 18, I think. So it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic." Demonic. It's extreme, right? "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." I neglected to say that we're studying James right now. So if that's not familiar, if anybody's new, there are, I think there's guest cards that you can fill out, or you can just come talk to me, and I'll point you to where you can go. So we've been in James for a while, so I'm just going to do a brief synopsis. That's what we do here at Summit. We take books of the Bible and sort of dive in, get a little bit deeper into what we're talking about. So I'm going to give you a brief synopsis of what James is talking about here. He's writing to a group of people in a church where there's a unity problem. I don't know if you've picked up on that yet, but I think there's a unity problem, and you can see that in what he's writing. And it starts with the individuals having heart problems, right? Not physical heart problems, but spiritual. And so he lays out in the beginning that this is revealed through, what, trials and the testing of our faith, right? And then he says, when you have trials, you're going to have trials and testing of your faith that will come along. He says to ask for wisdom. And then after that, he jumps over. And I'm going to skip a little bit. So ask for wisdom. And then he says, how do we get wisdom? Well, or how do we go well through trials and tests? And he says, we can be transformed by receiving with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul, right? And then he says something about being unstained from the world. I have no idea what that means. We'll get back to that later. I'm going to skip it for now. And then starts like a doctor diagnosing a problem. He starts to lay out symptoms for a heart issue, right? He starts to lay out if you see partiality, if you see these things, and that's a sign that there's an issue, right? We're getting at a diagnosis of a bad heart problem, right? So after all of that, in the tongue, right, that's probably an early indicator. Where's Mike? Is Mike here? I think he is or something. Yeah, an early indicator of a disease that's going on is the tongue, right? And what you can say. So then he circles back to wisdom here in this passage. He says wisdom, in the meekness of wisdom. And he lays out this dichotomy between wisdom from above, which is true wisdom, which he calls wisdom here, and what he refers to as something that is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic, right? Human understanding, human wisdom. I'm not going to talk too much about the wisdom that comes from above. I'm going to leave that for the next person who's going to come up and talk, Remington. What I'm going to talk about is the unfun one. So the wisdom that's not from above, what is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. I am probably really well qualified to talk about that from personal experience. What is that? What does that mean? Well, let's start with where he talks about bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. How does this play into the meekness? It says having works in the meekness of wisdom, and the opposite is bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. How does that play into this? So thinking about the body, he's writing to a group of people where there's a unity issue, Well, we could think about our body and think about, do we have unity issues and where does that play in? Well, if I have what is earthly, unspiritual, demonic, so earthly wisdom, since, as it says in Colossians, true wisdom is in Christ. It's hidden. It actually says all wisdom and knowledge is hidden in Christ. So it's not obvious. So if I don't have that, then what I have is making decisions and choices where I am the center instead of Jesus being the center, right? And so when I'm the center, how does that, and I'm still, let's say I'm still trying to follow Jesus. I'm in the church, but I'm still making decisions where I am the center. And then trials and tests come along, and what happens? I just want an escape, right? We just want to escape our problems. That's what we look for. We look for the escape, maybe the easy way out, maybe the hard way out, I don't know, but we just want an escape. And then we see people who happen to all be here today. The first three examples that came to my mind when I was thinking about this, I'm going to throw your names out there. We see people who have peace about them, like I was going to mention Coleman and Heather, or the Leopards, or Char. They have this peace about them, and many of you out there, and you meet them, and you think, wow, is nothing going wrong in their life? Like, is this, are they just untouched by what's going on in the insanity of this world? Man, I'm having financial difficulty. I'm having whatever, illness, or there's family members who are dying that are sick, or it's craziness right now. If you just walk out those doors, right? And so maybe your life is also, you feel like it's spinning out of control. Clemson lost the other week. That was terrible, right? Things are just not going well. So maybe that's you, and you see people like this that have that peace, and you think, wow, are they untouched by this world? And that's where the jealousy comes in, right? I want that. What? How come their life is so much better? Why don't they have a few more trials? Why am I having so many trials? And it's not that they're untouched. It's that they're unstained. Oh, that's what that meant. It's that they have a peace that transcends their circumstances, as it says in Philippians, right? This peace that it exceeds all human understanding, right? All human knowledge and wisdom. It doesn't make sense. How do they have that? But when I don't, what happens is I'm making decisions just based off of what I think is best, and that's where it allows for that jealousy. And what does that lead to? People aren't making decisions in my life group that I think they should be making. They're not doing things in the church the way I think they should be doing. What? And am I making decisions focused on where I'm the center? What happens? Well, I think he says in James, what does that lead to? Dramatic pause. I'm just finding where it is. Okay, there it is. Oh, there will be disorder in every vile practice. That's intense, right? We think just laying out these things by human understanding that if we do this, we do that, we don't do that. Paul was writing to the church in Colossians. They had a similar issue, except there's a group within the church that said, hey, we think that we need to observe these festivals and not this, and then don't touch or don't handle, don't touch, don't taste this. And Paul says to that it has the appearance of wisdom, right? Of promoting self-made religion, but it has no value in changing our hearts, no value in changing what he says is the indulgence of the flesh, sinful desire. So we're expecting that, just trying to alter and do things, do all the right things, maybe even within our life group and church. We're expecting that to change our hearts, but that's not what does it. And so when it doesn't work out the way we think, how we respond to the trials and the tests is not with the meekness of wisdom, but it's with something else that James says is demonic. And what does that result in within the church? We start grumbling, maybe. We start complaining, first to spouses, first to friends that are close to us, people within the life group. And what does that lead to within the body? Because you hear selfish ambition, maybe you're thinking individually, like your career, I'm just really ambitious maybe, or I'm not trying to climb the corporate ladder, I'm not selfishly ambitious. But within the church, he's talking to a body of believers. What does that mean when we make ourselves the center? And so if you were to put it in that context, it's a little bit different. It's maybe just people not listening that you think aren't listening to you, and so you start to grumble and complain, and then it It causes what he says is disorder and every vile practice. It eviscerates community, right? It destroys the body. And my time is up, but I want to give you a really cool illustration of this that is going to be familiar with some of you. It's fiction, I should say that, but in a galaxy far, far away. Are you familiar with this story? So there was this boy named Anakin, right, in this galaxy far, far away. And, okay, so let me set this up real quick for you if you have no idea what I'm talking about. There is this force, let's call that their God, right? And it is there is a good side and a bad side, the light and the dark, right? And so there's this group of interplanetary warriors that try to fight for good, and they're called Jedi. And they like to sort of discern what the good side, what the light side is saying to them, right? Try to discern the will of this good force, kind of like we try to do here, except we call the good force God, and there's a spirit, right? So the analogy does break down if you pick it apart too much. So, but Anakin, he wanted to be good, right? Imbued with much power in the Force, right? He wanted to be good, and he was trained. He became a Jedi, and then there's this Jedi Council. They're like the elders here. Like Remington is one of these members, you know. Like the Jedi Council, and they try to discern the will of the Force, the good Force. And they make decisions there was this time when they were under a significant trial and tribulation, and Anakin grew up to be this Jedi, and he was before the council, and they would make decisions, and he wouldn't agree with them. He was making decisions that seemed good, like he thought he had the best interest of everybody at heart, right? But he was making decisions of his own accord, of what he thought was best, where he was the center. And he became unhappy with how they were, in their season, in their wisdom, and following the Force, making decisions and determining what was best. He became unhappy with that. And he started to grumble and complain, first to those close to him, to his mentor. And what happened? His heart grew hard, right? You know, he became one of the most recognizable villains in all of fiction, right? Darth Vader. And where did that transformation begin? Oh, when he was grumbling and complaining, he was doing the will of the dark side even then. Even then. And he just didn't know it. And as he went through this transformation process, he destroyed the Jedi Order, right? It's so sad. Right? So if you think of the meekness of wisdom, maybe you think of Yoda, but not only that, but he also destroyed his family. He never even got to know his kids, right? His wife died, and then his kids are who knows where. And that's this picture that we have, left to his own destruction, to his own devices, to his own selfish ambition, to have redemption at the end. But is that the life we want? All right, my time was up a long time ago. So I will ask you this one question, because it does have the context of the Bible. So think of that example, and think about it, as you look around here, are you growing in your love for others in this body? Like, what does that have to do with the meekness of wisdom? Well, the opposite leads to the destruction of community. So are we growing in unity, in oneness, and that is in Christ, right? Who is the head. So if we have that, that means we're growing in our love for one another, right? Not just the ones you like to hang out with, but everybody that you see. So that's my question for you. Father, if anything I said had worth or value, may it be received in open hearts. In your name.
Good morning, church. How are you? My name is Remington Brooks, and I'm not a Jedi. Big fan, though. I am one of the elders here at Summit Church, and Easley is where I make my home. I didn't know we were going to have Star Wars analogies. I'd have prepared something a little more exciting. Interesting story. I almost wasn't here today. I got a phone call about, 12 days ago, or 11 days ago, and telling me that, hey, Remington, I'm sorry to inform you, you've been exposed to COVID, and according to the CDC guidelines, you're required to quarantine for 14 days. And I'm like, but I ain't sick. I'm feeling good. And so, what does that mean for Thanksgiving? I call Terry, and I'm like, Terry, I'm supposed to talk on Sunday, the 29th. I said, that's like 13 days. Does that count? Is that good enough? And he goes, well, we just tell people to follow the symptoms, if you have symptoms. I'm like, okay. I got a phone call Monday that said, oh, by the way, we made a mistake. So all the Thanksgiving you canceled and doing, go figure that out. We apologize. So thankfully, I'm here today to talk a little bit about wisdom. James, we started this conversation about today because we kind of planned these a little in advance, okay? And Terry, even before he got diagnosed with COVID, had said, you know, I think it would be awesome if you and Jason would kind of tag team and talk about this passage. And I'm thinking, okay, we're in James. This is tricky because me and James kind of have a like-dislike relationship. I really relate to James. He's direct. He's kind of at you. But James steps on my toes in a major way because he's direct. He's not like Matthew. Matthew's telling a story with facts, and it's exciting. Oh, what's going on? It's not like the book of Luke. I have emotion, feeling. It's not like Paul, who's gently guiding and caressing and pushing. I don't know what's going on with James, but it ain't good, right? And he's thinking, I don't have time for the niceties. We got to hit it. And so Terry says, all right, what are you thinking? What verses are we talking about? He said, chapter 3. And I'm like, yes, shut your mouth. You know, tame that tongue. I got it. He goes, well, no, not that part. Wisdom. And I'm going, ooh. If you've ever grown up in the church, you've heard the joke, careful about praying for wisdom because you'll get it. Right? So what is wisdom? What is wisdom? Well, there's many types of wisdom. There's practical wisdom. Don't touch the fire. It's hot. Don't put your hand in the hole. Something might bite it. And when you're a little kid, you look at that and you go, it's hot. And your mom says, don't touch it. But you don't know that until what? You touch it. And it's like, ooh, that hot, you know? And you want to stick your hand in the hole until you see your brother do it and something bit it. And now you learn from observation. You either learn from experience or you learn from observation. And so now, as a human being, my way of judging wisdom is either through experience or observation. And a lot of us learn the hard way. Right, Jason? I learned a lot of wisdom the hard way. Or maybe I learned a lot of lack of wisdom the hard way. What does the world call wisdom? What does the world call wisdom? Well, I'm pretty. And say beautiful. Beautiful is made by God. Pretty is I'm attractive, right? I have that going for me. I'm smart. Smarter than everybody I know. I can do anything. I'm talented. I sold 1 million records, and everybody bought my record. I'm accomplished. I was a senior vice president before I was 35 years old. I have a portfolio of this. I'm accomplished. I'm popular. Everybody likes me. I am a social influencer. I have more likes on Facebook than you, therefore, I'm better. And I'm wiser. Because the world says wisdom is success. And that's how it judges what wisdom is. I'm wise because people told me so. That is the world's gauge of wisdom, but that is not how God use wisdom. All of these are not bad things. But without God, they're nothing, right? They're nothing. They're an empty promise. They're food without taste. Anybody ever had plain Jell-O before? Yeah. Nobody wants to try that. Maybe a little cherry, blueberry, tastes good. John 15, the words of Jesus. I am the true vine, and the Father is my gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. And here's the important part. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. All the world's wisdom. And he gave some great examples of what bad wisdom is. You know? The wisdom of the world is built on an entirely different worldview of what I just read. That God has called us into. Instead of humility, worldly wisdom leads every person to make their lives about themselves. This mindset tells us to look at what other people have, decide if we want that, and go after it. But real wisdom comes from above. Right? And we go back to the text. I'm going to read it again from James 3. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy, selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes from above. It is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Powerful there. Where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown by peace by those who make peace. My wife and I were discussing this morning as we were driving to North Carolina on Thanksgiving. And she's like, well, what are you going to talk about? I said, wisdom. You know, I've been praying about it. I've been studying. I've been reading up. You know, it's not going to be an exegesis or an exegesic discussion. And my wife goes, I don't think that means what you think it does. And I'm thinking, well, I think it does. I'm a smart guy. You know, I am well versed in the world. I read my Bible a lot. I really, really. And she goes, so she looks it up and she goes, yeah, that ain't it. Wisdom says don't have an argument with a woman who has a degree in journalism and English. All right? But that to say, that's the world's wisdom. Okay? Wisdom is pure from above. It is gentle. It is open to reason. It is full of mercy and good fruits. Once again, we got James here. He's hammering us. He's told us what it's not, and he's telling us what it looks like. And as you read through any verse of the Bible, there are multiple things you should ask yourself. One, what's God saying? And two, what is God saying to me? Remington, Jason, Miranda, sorry you're sitting there. What specifically is he saying to me? And you may ask this and say, but I get it, Remington. Wisdom. It comes from above. How do I get that? And now you're about to get the million-dollar question. If you ever took a philosophy class, in college, ethics, or watch Kung Fu Panda, and you've asked that question and saw Confucius say, I confused. because you're looking for true wisdom. True wisdom comes from above, but true wisdom is never experienced outside of the presence of God. And you hear us here at Hummit Summit regularly say, passionately pursue God. And you may say, I don't know what that is. That's okay. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have it all figured out. But you got to ask yourself why. Why you're not passionately pursuing God. Because that's a bigger question than I don't know how. Because here's the truth about passionately pursuing God. I don't want to passionately pursue God because God will see me. And I'm not pretty. I'm not beautiful. I'm ugly. I'm a liar. I'm a sinner. I am the thief on the cross. And if he'll just let me sit there and take me with him, I would be blessed. True knowing God is willing to let him see you because he already knows. He knows, and he does not care. Because it started in Genesis, and it goes through Revelation, and it is a story being told today in each one of our lives. He is pursuing you. And all he wants is you to turn around and acknowledge it. Seek his face. And that sounds such a small little thing to say, you know, you are in the presence of God now. As a body of believers, making a big deal about Jesus, Lord's presence is here. And you're like, well, how can I tell if people are seeking the face of Jesus? Verses 17 and 18. That's how you tell. That's what James is about. James is really saying, if you're doing these things, you are seeing wisdom from above. Now, take it a little further. What if we as an entire body were a body about seeking the wisdom of God? Living it out on a regular basis, seeking his presence. What would that do to your circle of accountability? What would that do to your job? What would that do to this community that we live in? What would it do to your family? Some of you went to Thanksgiving on Thursday, and you were the only gospel representation in that room. Right here, folks. It is awful to be the only one in a room that knows Jesus. But that's a calling for me. I'm the gospel representation there. And wisdom is being able to live the gospel well from the presence of God when things are good and things are bad. So I'm going to ask Doug to come on up. We have another song. And I want to pray for us. And dear Lord and Father, we humbly thank you, Lord. We thank you that you care more about us than we care about us. God, we are thankful that you constantly pursue us, even in our brokenness, Lord. May we be a people that seek your face. May we seek your presence, Lord, because what we want is wisdom from above. We want you. I pray for this body. I pray for the men and the women and the children here, Lord, that we be known as people making a big deal about you. In your heavenly name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. For more information about Summit Upstate and other available resources, check out our website at summitupstate.org.